welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is debugging HTTP 404 response codes in an IHS WebSphere topology. Today's presenter is Naveen Shetty. Naveen is a member of WebSphere Level 2 support team. He primarily supports Edge IHS plug-in caching proxy components of WebSphere Application Server and WebSphere Community Edition products. Prior to joining the WebSphere IHS team, he worked with the WebSphere security component. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Naveen. You may begin.
Thank you, David. Good morning. As David said, I work with the WebSphere support team, and my team handles IHS plugin, WebSphere caching proxy, and WebSphere community editions, amongst other things. Going to slide two, David. Today's agenda is we're going to discuss the most basic of the HTTP errors, which is the HTTP 404. After a brief introduction of the IHS plugin and WebSphere topology and the underlying transport, we will try to understand the causes of the HTTP 404 error. We'll visit some examples of the error seen at the browser end, and finally, we'll discuss methodology to debug, process, and ways to address the issues. Slide three, please. So simply put, HTTP 404 or not found error message simply means the client was able to communicate with the server, but for some reason was unable to retrieve the requested resource, although it should not be confused with the server not found or similar errors. Slide four, please. Just so that we have our fundamentals correct, I put a schematic of the transport of a typical request. The plugin and its hosting web server will work together to ensure that all the requests are served correctly. When a request hits the web server, the plugin will typically have the first opportunity to handle the request. If it determines that it is meant for WebSphere, the plugin will forward it. Otherwise, the plugin will pass it back to the web server for it to handle the request. The plugin sends the HTTP request and so is essentially an HTTP client. The application server receives those requests and therefore is an HTTP server. The component inside the application server which does the job of the HTTP server is known as the HTTP transport. A single application server can have multiple multiple ports defining, creating multiple instances of HTTP transport. No two application servers on a single node can be configured to use the same ports for its HTTP transport. Slide five, please. So these are some of the basic plugin terms and definitions. So I was hoping that I could wrap up this presentation within 15 slides, but then I was hard-pressed to cover everything related to this topic in almost 39 slides. So I might skip through or rush through a few slides, so bear with me. If you have questions, I will be glad to answer them at the end of the session. Slide six, please. HTTP errors can have different underlying causes, and some examples of these causes are external factors such as problems in the web server, configuration problems such as an incorrect web server plugin in or virtual host configuration, runtime problems such as an application or application server not started, user or application problems, such as incorrectly specified URL. Slide 7, please. So when users receive HTTP 404 error code and the application at the root of the problem, the first thing to check is the integrity of the following system components in the following order. First is the web server. Second is the application server. Third is the application itself. If all these are working properly and you're not sure which application and servers are involved, collect more information about the symptoms as necessary. Slide 8, please. How do you verify that the web server is responding? If it's an IBM HTTP server, a quick test to verify that the web server is responding is to access the below URL. That's the one listed in the page. You should see the welcome page for the IBM HTTP server. That will confirm that your web server is running and responding to requests. Else, the problem is most likely in the web server, so you should investigate and look into resolving the problems with web server responding. Slide 9, please. Here, I'm trying to discuss how you would verify that the app server started. Basically, you would go through the integrated console and click on applications on the left-hand side and click on the enterprise application. And if the application is not started, you would start the application. Slide 10, please. Verifying the application itself is started. Once you verify that the application server is started, you would ensure that the application on that particular JVM is started. So you go with the same process, select the application, and select the enterprise application, and make sure that you have the green sign, the circle is green and lit, and the application itself is started. Slide 11, please. The last line is a must-gather link, which is a comprehensive list of things to collect when you receive a 404 or a 500 or other HTTP errors. Now, if the type of the error is not apparent to you or you did not obtain the URL information, collect the following diagnostics. The errors displayed by the user browser, including the URL that failed. If your application is deployed to a cluster, you might need to collect the logs from each of the application active server in the cluster. The web server access and debug level error logs, the plugin trace logs, and the web container trace on the app server JVM, where the application is deployed. Slide 12, please. So this slide discusses the order in which one would go about looking at and searching for the 404. The two key determinations that you can make from a diagnostic data are the URL that failed and where the failure occurred, whether it's the web server, the plugin, or the application server. So you would diagnose it in the following order. The browser error displayed. Second is, if the failure occurs in the web container, system out has the most informative error messages. So I would look at the errors shown in the system out of the JVM, the plugin trace, and the web server log. If no other error indications are found, then it's the web server error log which will have the cause of the 404 error. As we earlier discussed, that if the plugin determines that the app server is not the one to serve the request, then it passes the request back to the web server. Slide 13, please. So HTTP errors often appear in the client browser with descriptive text and possibly with the additional error information. The following errors have been reported by users, and you know the failing URL. You can determine the root cause of the problem. Type of error is not always apparent to the user. Web application often intercept and handle these type of errors, presenting a generic error page to the web client. In that case, check the application server and the web server logs. The next four slides, we will look at some screenshots which are seen at the browser side or a description of the error at the browser end. Slide 14, please. So this is the typical page cannot be displayed or found error. And the visual of this depends on the type of the web server in the picture. Slide 15, please. So this is what a typical 404 error, which is caused by JSP or JSF error, looks like. So it will give you the name of the resource which failed. If you see, it says test/index.jsp. Slide 16, please. So this is the file not found exception. It's just a SRV190E exception. Possible root cause for this error include incorrectly specified URL, the page is not available on the server, and a web server plugin configuration problem. Slide 17, please. So this slide shows some of the errors which you might see when your web group or virtual host has not been or has been incorrectly defined. Slide 18, please. When you find exceptions in your JVM logs, you would want to search for keywords which are SRVE or JSPG E or JSPGW or JSFG E or JSFW. Or it is also possible that the application itself did not start up, and you would at that point you would want to look at the application startup exceptions. Slide 19, please. So this is a typical logging of application which started up successfully. Slide 20, please. If you see one of the following messages, you might have a problem with the virtual host configuration. Error messages with prefixes JSP, JSF, JSRV have more information about the error. Slide 21, please. So how do you go about analyzing the web server logs? First of all, search for the error. Correlate the access log entry that you noted with the error log entry by comparing the date, time, and the remote host entry name. Note the error message text. HTTP errors that are displayed by the web server are logged in the access log. These errors can originate in the web server or application server. Slide 22, please. So what are the rules to chase a 404 error? First, identify the 404 in the access log and the corresponding error in the web server error logs. Check the web server error log for further details. If no error in the error log, get plugin and web container traces. The most likely cause is a problem with the web server plugin or at the application server. If the web container property file serving enabled equals false, then the IHS serves the static content. If it's set to true, then the static content is served by the app server. If true, verify that the resource exists in the proper path in the application server. Slide 23, please. So typically when the web server plugin passes the request to the WebSphere application server, you should see a line which says WebSphere will handle the request and name of the resource. That tells you that the HTTP server matched the incoming request to the rules of the web server plugin, CFD file, and send the request to the WebSphere for processing. Either you'll see an HTTP 200, which is successful, or you'll see an HTTP error. In either case, the HTTP codes are sent by the app server. Slide 24, please. So based on the symptoms that users report, you can usually narrow the problem down to one or two issues. The page cannot be displayed, or a JSP, JSF error, or a web group or virtual host has not been defined. So let's go and investigate further on these two aspects. Slide 25, please. So if you see a page cannot be displayed or a JSP, JSF error, here are the few things which I would look at. Let's verify that the web server plugin is working correctly. Verify that the URL that is causing the error is specified correctly. Verify that the web server is responding. And verify that the application is running. Slide 26, please. So if you see a web group or virtual host not defined related exceptions, verify that the virtual host configuration is correct. Verify that the URL causing the error is specified correctly. Verify that the application itself is running. Slide 27, please. So how would you go about verifying that the URL itself is correct? If a format of the URL is as shown on the slide, first is find the URL pattern for the servlet. Find the context root of the web module that contains the servlet. Find the virtual host where the web module is installed. Find the aliases for virtual host. And compare the failing URL with the correct URL for the servlet which you have pulled out from the above exercise. So the next five slides will discuss these five points which I raised on slide 27. Slide 28, please. So here's an exercise, and from this you can retrieve the URL pattern which should have been by viewing the deployment descriptor in the application. If you have multiple web modules, check the deployment descriptor for each module until you find the right one. Slide 29, please. So this slide shows how you can identify the right context root and the correct web module name. So each web module in the application has a unique context root. To find the context root for the URL, select the application and drill down to the enterprise application which is under consideration. Click the application name, click the context root for the web modules, and note down the context root for the appropriate web module. When you put the context root together with the resource name, you can gauge if the request URL matches what is defined in the application. Slide 30, please. So the next step is to find the virtual host where the web module is installed. So Similar as in the previous slide, you would drill down in the application tab into the enterprise application. Click on the application name. Click the virtual host under the web module properties to see the web modules in the application and the virtual host in which they have been installed is there. Note the virtual host for the web module. Slide 31, please. So to find the host aliases for the virtual host, from the console navigation tree, select environment and then drill down to virtual host. Click on the virtual host. Select the host aliases under the additional properties. Note each alias. An alias is composed of the host name and the port number. So each alias represents a valid host colon port combination for the web module. Slide 32, please. So the exercise listed in the last four slides will equip you with enough information to compare the results with the failing URL. So combine the virtual host alias, context root, and the URL pattern to form the correct URL request for the servlet. Compare the correct URL for the servlet with the URL that was reported in the problem. And if they are the same, then verify that the resource file exists in the deployed application. If they are not, correct the application that is calling the resource. Slide 33, please. So what do you do at the web server plugin level to debug a 404? So ensure that the plugin was regenerated and propagated recently to the web server. Check other applications on the server. Access the application directly by bypassing the plugin and going to the web containers port directly. Slide 34, please. So if you see the issue at the web server plugin, how do you resolve them? If you can access the application through the application server but not via the web server, you are most likely experiencing a problem with the web server plugin. Review the virtual host mapping for the web modules. Review the web module mapping. Correct any problems related to the web module mapping. Regenerate the plugin and propagate it to the web server. Restart the web server or wait for the new configuration to be activated, and that will be reloaded based on the refresh interval in the plugin cfg.xml. Slide 35, please. So how do you verify that the virtual host configuration is correct? So in the administrator console, you'll select the enterprise application, drill down to the application name, and you'll have a selection for virtual host. View and modify the virtual host definition if necessary. Edit the host name or port as needed. Restart the application server. And again, regenerate the plugin and propagate it to the web server. Slide 36, please. How do you check the host alias definitions? So keeping in mind the host names and port numbers that the web server plugin is experiencing to receive from the browser, make sure that the host aliases that are defined for a virtual host include the host name and the port number of the WebSphere application server. Mapping HTTP request to host alias is case sensitive, and the match must be alphabetically exact. A wildcard can be used for the host name, the port, or both. When it is used for both, a request matches this rule. But then again, you're opening up your application server a little bit wider. So I think I've gone through these slides. I was hoping to spend a little bit more time on each of these slides in the last few slides. Slide 37, please. In summation, to debug HTTP 404, we have a very good must gather, usually based on whether the request is a static content or a dynamic content. You would follow the section listed in, under that. You would analyze the diagnostic logs which you collected based on the order which is defined from slide 13 onwards. Isolate the root cause of the HTTP 404 to one of the components in the HTTP transport. Identify the issue and make the required changes as mentioned in the slides. Sometimes our clients, we've known they have custom errors for HTTP 404. In some cases, it can give a more accurate nature of the problem to the client browser. Sometimes it may not, and it might be misleading. So that is a topic which I have not addressed in this. Slide 38, please. So here are a few reference links which gives you a lot more information on how to debug HTTP 404. It gives you information on the other HTTP errors which are seen on the browser side. Also, it gives you a more detailed understanding of the plugin. One of the links out here is, I believe it's the first one, is a WSD presentation which my colleague Steve Reed and I presented a year or two ago on the plugin itself. You might find that helpful. So with that said, I would hand over the mic to David. David, you want to take over?
Yeah, thanks, Naveen, for a great presentation. Slide 39 lists some additional WebSphere resources that you may find useful. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WSTE subscribe to get a list of all the mailing lists that you could subscribe to. Also, if there's a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at the same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We do welcome any ideas that you may have. At this time, Don, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And I'm showing no questions in the queue.
Okay, thank you, Don. We've had quite a bit of activity in the group chat and the web conference. I think maybe most of these questions have already been answered by the people in there, but I'll start at the top. The first question that was asked was, isn't it HTTP 500 when an application server is not started?
Yes, that is true. You would get an HTTP 500 when the request, the app server is not available for some reason. But then there are other causes for an HTTP 500 also. It could be also that the app server started, but the application itself is not started or is not available. So there can be other reasons for an HTTP 500.
Okay, thanks, Naveen. And then the next question was, what is web group? How do you define this?
So the web group, the virtual host group is defined on the application server side, and you would typically map the module for the application, which is associated with the virtual host in a port, within the web group, and that is what is generated in the plugin CLG.xml when the plugin is generated and propagated.
All right, thanks, Naveen. The next question, are vhosts defined via Apache or via the admin console? I assume vhosts for WebSphere are configured via the admin console.
That is correct.
Okay.
It's the virtual host which is associated with the application server JVM.
Okay, great. Another question, does the Apache module have documentation regarding configuration options?
If the person is still on the line, can they come on the line and kind of explain this a little further?
They may not be on the phone call. They may only be in the webcast, and that's listen only. We should point out, though, that if you need to ask Naveen a question, his email address is on the first slide, and you could send him an email.
Yes, you can send me an email on this topic or any other topic which you might have. And typically, we would want you to open a PMR, but if it's something quick, you can always shoot me an email.
Okay, great. And then another question. How do you configure a new port if it conflicts with other ports?
Well, you would go through the configuration steps which are defined for configuring the virtual host and the port, and you would choose a port which is not already in use.
Okay.
One of the slides, I believe it was slide 36, which talks about how to check the virtual host.
Virtual host configuration.
Right, and the slide 36 talks about the port number.
Okay.
It's just a matter of drilling down the console to the right location, and the paths I've provided in the slides. So if I believe I've you know, gone a bit too fast today. And if I have, the slides itself are very clear and descriptive. So if you have any questions on the slide, please feel free to send me an email.
There's another question about resolving port conflict, but I think we just covered that.
So it also depends on whether the web server and the plugin are on the same machine as the WebC application server. But if they're on different machines, you should not have any port conflicts.
Okay. Here's another question. How to enable plugin trace?
The plugin trace is enabled by a parameter which is log level, which is within the plugin cfg.xml. It should be on the third or the fourth line within the plugin cfg.xml. So you would set the log level equals from, say, whatever it is. I believe it by default it is error to trace.
Okay. Doesn't the port number of the virtual host match with the listening port of the app server?
Could you repeat that, David?
Does the port number of the virtual host match with the listening port of the app server?
The virtual host definitions in the web servers are what decide what port numbers and they are listening on and which port numbers they need to be directed to the app server JVM. But the JVM, the port number on the web container side are different.
Okay. Is there any specific way to read the garbage collection file?
The garbage collection vis-a-vis the JDK? Beyond the scope of this presentation, but we have tools out there to review the garbage collection, but it's handled by a different team.
Okay.
And we have a question from Satya. Satya, your line is open.
Hi. Naveen, this is Satya. You know, like, I was asking the question on the virtual host and the port numbers, right? See, the thing is, WebSphere, web container will be listening only on certain ports, only on a particular port, be it the HTTP or HTTPS. And, you know, like, virtual host would have to map to that, right?
Correct. Correct. And those are defined on the app server JVM side.
That's right. Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome, Satya.
And I show no further questions in the queue.
All right. Thank you, Don. I believe we've answered all the questions. Again, you can send Naveen an email. His email address is on the first slide of the presentation, and that's available. I've been posting that in the group chat out on the support portal website. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable. We appreciate your participation and I hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much again for joining us today, and thank you, Naveen, for presenting.